So how will Kenny Pickett's hamstring injury impact the rest of the Cleveland Browns quarterback room? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Haven't talked about Kenny Pickett this much in a while, quite frankly, Pearl, but his hamstring injury now is front and center because Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Browns, spoke yesterday, said there's not a timetable on his return. And I was really surprised with how he said the reps are now going to get split up between the rest of the three QBs, which of course is Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders, basically saying that Joe Flacco is going to get the majority of the snaps, and I don't understand why.
I think I have a theory why. I think that, I honestly think, based on the way Stefanski was talking yesterday, I think he wants Kenny Pickett to win the job, and I don't think he wants the noise of the two rookies in there getting into the first team reps, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. So what's the safest way? If you go along with this theory that he really wants Kenny Pickett to win this job and he's going to be back in 3 days, what's the safest way to do that? Don't put Dylan and Shedeur in there.
Yeah, don't put a Wally Pipp situation, just, as you're saying.
Well, I just think the media would make a huge deal out of that, if especially Shedeur got in there and threw a bunch of touchdowns in practice, which are hard to judge because it's only practice. I think the simplest way is keep Flacco in there, let Pickett heal, bring him back in 10 days, and let him win the job. I think that it's definitely Pickett and Flacco. And honestly, the way that they looked, I feel like, oh, man, they were disappointed about this because Pickett was trending towards winning the job.
Yeah, to me, having Joe Flacco, who's 40, get the majority of the first-team reps is the last thing you need right now. You actually do need to give these two rookie quarterbacks as much experience as possible, because if Pickett already is hurt, we're barely into the second week of training camp, Flacco's 40. If Kevin Stefanski, who may or may not be on the hot seat, is really going to save his job, you've got to make sure that these rookies look at least competent, decent. Like, it can't just be, if let's say you do get to the rookies for injury's sake at some point in the season, which is not so far-fetched, they can't look like a disaster, right? Or everyone's going to say, well, Stefanski, aren't you the quarterback guy? Aren't you the one who's supposed to be helping these guys along? I think you would want to give the majority of the reps to Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. I guess here would be another question. Why do you think that Stefanski may be tilting the scales or have his thumb on the scales to give Pickett the job?
Well, because I think Pickett can move and Flacco can't. Mm. And I think, you know, based on the coverage of Cleveland, like, whoa, this guy's a little better than we thought. I think people think he had that year in Philly, probably cleaned up any problems he had in Pittsburgh. I think they look back at Pittsburgh and say, oh, that was the offense was bad. That was Matt Canada. You had a terrible offensive coordinator. I think that they think they might have gotten this year's Sam Darnold and Kenny Pickett. The other thing, too, by the way, you have 11 guys on offense. Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders have no idea how to run an NFL offense. They're not going to be able to go in the first team and run those plays. They have no experience whatsoever. They would screw up the entire works, right? Like, you got to run a practice.
Well, see, I think that's why you do this, right? You make the mistakes in practice. You learn in practice. You're only going to learn from your mistakes, or at least that's the best way to learn. And I think you can still evaluate your offense and your wide receivers and stuff, even if you give some more reps to Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, I'm not talking about just evaluating. I also think, like, the receivers need to get in rhythm, and the offense needs to start building itself to get ready for week one. Here's the question. It's not about developing Gabriel and Sanders yet. It's about trying to win some games now. Those guys aren't going to win games. I mean, nobody comes in. Very, very few rookie quarterbacks come in and win. And never, except for Russell Wilson, third rounder, fifth rounder. Can you imagine? Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur come from such different offenses. There's no way they could run that practice. Like, you need Flacco.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Dak Prescott came in, won a little bit in his rookie year. I think Joe Flacco showed that he could come off the couch and he could help get the Browns to the playoffs 2 years ago. I don't know how much materially is changing. And I know their schedule is just awful, like right out of the chute. And you want, I guess, to be able to win some games there. But I think Joe Flacco would be able to do that, whether he gets 90% of the snaps with the first team, 50%, 40%, 30%. Like, I just don't think he's changing very much. But to your point about the overall competition, let's hear from Kevin Stefanski. He says the quarterback decision will encompass the entire evaluation, even going back to spring, and that despite Pickett's injury, he's very much in the mix.
The evaluation on these guys is all-encompassing. It goes back through the spring. It goes to what they've put on tape already as football players. So I know he wants to be out there, but he's still very, very much involved.
Yeah. I mean, if you're, to your point, if he's saying what they've put on tape as football players, well, how are Shador and Dylan Gabriel supposed to compete with that? They haven't even been in the league to put anything on tape.
I mean, they say Shador is not even close, right? And that's why he's off on another field. I'm not sure what I figured he would have learned some pro-style offense in college from Pat Shurmur, but all the word coming out of Cleveland is he's got a long, long learning curve ahead of him. Again, like I just hear like they want Pickett. I can hear it in his voice. He just really wants Kenny Pickett to be the guy.
Yeah, which I don't really understand. I would kind of
Pickett's pretty young. I mean, what's wrong with Kenny Pickett?
Well, because
let's not forget Shelby.
I think I would probably see like let the chips fall where they may. Maybe the guy was overdrafted. You know, maybe he was. You know, maybe it's not going to happen with Kenny Pickett, and you could have something here in Dylan Gabriel and Shador, which you could really grow with. And maybe that saves your job. I don't know. I don't know why I'd close myself off to anything at this point if I'm Kevin Stefanski. Like, let's let the best guy win. And I don't know if a rookie would even be the best guy, but, like, let's at least see. Not give 40-year-old Joe Flacco all the first-team reps. Doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I would go with, again, I think, like, the wide receivers. Imagine if you're Jerry Jeudy and Dylan Gabriel is running the offense for a majority of the practice. You're not going to get the kind of practice you need to get ready for the season because he's probably going to have trouble getting the plays in. He's probably not going to see everything because he's short. There's just all sorts of things that would go wrong. And then Jerry Jeudy wouldn't be ready for week one when you know it's going to be Pickett or Flacco. So I understand why you wouldn't do the rookies. Like they really, I mean, Stefanski, you just said it's on the hot seat. I don't think he could just be like, this whole season's a tryout for Shador and Dylan Gabriel. I don't think he views it that way at all.
No, we're talking about the Browns quarterback situation with Kenny Pickett now out. They said Joe Flacco is going to get all the first team reps. And that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me because I guess I'm anticipating a season where I think we're going to see a lot of these quarterbacks. Like, I think we're getting down to the third guy on the depth chart. And this scenario you just painted, say Jerry Jeudy, you know, like wants to run a practice in a certain type of way. I'd rather do that in practice and have Dylan Gabriel get reps or Shador get reps than have to happen week seven when they're playing against, I don't even have their schedule up in front of me, but they're playing against, you know, the Bengals and he has to get forced into action. Like, I'd rather have him had a couple meaningful snaps in training camp.
Yeah. I mean, I think you get 3 months to study everything and maybe you'll be more ready in week, probably a little later than week seven. Be ready to go. The other thing too is you got to protect their confidence. Like, I don't really want them going out there running the bulk of the first team practice against Myles Garrett and all of a sudden they're like, well, I'm terrible. Like, I think this is for their own good. And they have joint practices coming up. I think the Eagles and the Panthers, like, they do not want to put those two rookies out first team against first team. That would be very bad for their development. Don't you think?
I don't know. You got to be mentally tough. Like, I wouldn't be too worried about that. I worry about rookies sometimes when they actually are handed the starting job, they're behind a really bad offensive line, and they take 60 sacks in a season.
David Carr in Houston back in the day?
That was like probably the most extreme example. I feel like it happened a little to Caleb Williams, although Caleb has a lot of confidence. He's number one overall pick. It happened, I think, to Bryce Young, took a lot of sacks. Like, I worry about putting your quarterback out there when you can't protect him. I don't know if I worry about putting guys out there just for their ego.
Well, I think if Dylan Gabriel started, you go against the practice Eagles and he was 0 for his first 11, you think that'd be healthy for a young quarterback? I don't think they want to do that. I think that there's no way those guys are ready, by the way. Like, it's just too hard. It's very, very hard for rookie quarterbacks. I mean, Cam Ward, he wasn't even handed the job until Will Levis got hurt. I mean, he was going to get it eventually, but even that, it's going to be a learning curve. So, no, I don't think, and I think the basic disagreement is I don't think Dylan Gabriel or Shador is that close. You feel like Shador could go out there because he's a bit older. I mean, I get where you're coming at, but I don't think it's going to look good if Shador plays right now.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Obviously, Shador's in the news because he's going to get some reps now, looks like, with the second team. Which,
don't forget, you know, I had two sons, right?
Coach Prime, he's got three. But Coach Prime taking center stage yesterday because of the press conference he held with his doctor and also like a nurse slash assistant, a woman who's obviously very important in his life and helped in his recovery. We know Prime had been away for all of spring, recovering in Dallas. We did not know what he was recovering from until yesterday when he announced, Pearl, that he had been diagnosed with bladder cancer. Luckily, He has beaten the cancer part of this, so he's now cancer-free, according to his doctors, which is such a sigh of relief for anybody. But he still is dealing with the effects of bladder cancer, which is, and he's very open about this and said it yesterday, doesn't have control of his bladder right now and has to deal with the after effects of all of that.
Yeah. Do you think it's just a win? If he gets on the field, is he the feel-good story of the season? If say they lose the game. I'm sorry, I think he is. I think just to get out there is an incredible achievement. After this, soon after cancer, I'm rooting for the Buffaloes, and I don't care if they win. I'm going to be very into this story.
I think so. And we had even said this before we knew what he was diagnosed with. Has he already proven the point, right? Does he have anything left to prove, even, was something that we had asked before we knew that it was cancer, because he obviously has the blood clot issues and had some toes amputated, and Deion's really been through it. He took the Colorado program and he turned it around. So now I think the story just becomes even that more inspirational. Here's Deion yesterday saying the cancer journey really changed his life.
Get checked out, because it could have been a whole another gathering if I had. I'm thankful. It's been a tremendous journey. It's been tough. I think I dropped 25 pounds. I was like a Atlanta Falcon prime at one point, and just dealing with the catheter, dealing with all the stuff that I had to deal with. And right now I'm still dealing with going to the bathroom. Like, it's a whole life change. Like, I can't, and I'm going to be transparent, I can't pee like I used to pee. It's totally different.
He said he's going to have a porta potty on the sidelines. You're going to see that there. And while Deion at points was emotional, and this is very sobering news, but I'll bet, with a positive ending because he's now cancer free, he even had his own Deion Flair. You can't take the prime out of Deion. This is him talking about his new life now wearing Depend.
I depend on Depend, if you know what I mean. I truly depend on Depend. Like, I cannot control my bladder.
It's like amazing that Deion is talking this candidly about it, Pearl, and imploring people to get checked out and to not feel self-conscious or embarrassed or anything like that. And I think he is going to help a lot of people by, just putting it out there, saying what it is. This is what I'm dealing with, and I'm still Deion Sanders. I'm still prime time, this can affect me. It can affect you.
Oh, absolutely. The thing about Deion, too, is he used to be love us or hate us kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he openly was courting people to dislike them. He went into Colorado, cut everybody immediately. And then he kind of always would address the haters last year.
Yep.
I think that kind of goes away now. I can't imagine the haters are going to stick around to hate Buffalo. The Buffaloes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to be 100% approval rating, but I think we did have a little disagreement. I can't imagine them being that good. They just lost Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, and they're Colorado football. Like, I would have very modest expectations for this team. Like,
haters.
I mean, if they made a run for the Big 12 title, and that would be like the story of the year by a million. But I just think that, okay, they're probably going to be a 5 or 6 win team, battle to be bowl eligible, and it's still going to feel like a win.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when anytime you're talking about a matter of maybe life and death, which thankfully it didn't come down to that, and again, this has a positive ending here that Deion has beaten bladder cancer, but of course, like, anything's going to seem silly in comparison, sports especially. But I do think that, I think Deion still wants to win. And is he going to always, like, people are going to feel a ton of sympathy or empathy if you've been through something like this. You'd be a monster not to. Is Deion going to get through the whole season, drama free? I also don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, is he going to talk trash? I mean, he had probably a bunch of feuds going on.
Probably. I mean, yeah. But I kind of don't want him to change. Yeah, you know,
I agree.
You're going to be changed after something like this, but you want Deion to be the full Deion. Not that I'm saying people can't evolve and stuff like that, but I think, you go there to play for Deion Sanders. You're a fan of Colorado. You're rooting for him. You're embracing the whole Deion Sanders package.
Yeah, I mean, he had a lot of health issues in the past and never changed at all. Even in the hardest of physical times, he was still, Yeah, I would say the word arrogant. He's still, you know, he's primetime.
He's an inner circle Hall of Famer. And, you know,
but and also he's the one inner circle Hall of Famer who will tell you how good he was. No one has ever, except for Ricky Henderson, I think Deion's number two in the all time.
Oh, that's interesting.
Speaking in third person, I mean, we used to interview him all the time at Dan Patrick's show, and he's like, he still thought he could outrace every single player in the NFL at like 48. He's primetime. There's no other way to describe him.
This was so yesterday we started talking. This is going to seem like a left turn, but I'll get back there. Yesterday we had a robust conversation about prenups. Remember that?
Yeah.
We were talking about prenuptial agreements and about, you know.
Rashawn Slater signed a contract and right after he divorced his wife.
Yeah, so he got a divorce, the offensive lineman for the Chargers, and then was it a week later, 2 weeks later? All of a sudden now he signs this massive contract. So it got us down the road of prenups. So now Deion yesterday was talking about another legal document that can be a little bit, you know, kind of awkward sometimes. He was talking about his will. Now, thankfully, he doesn't need this now because he's fine. And he's cancer-free. Again, still dealing with the after effects. But Deion talked about getting his affairs in order and how this is going to impact his kids.
The funny thing is about that, you sitting up there ranking your kids again. Let me see. Shiloh deserves how much? Bossy, you know, she left Colorado to go elsewhere. Let me see. Like you're really going through this stuff, you know, making sure your mama's straight. Yeah, I'm serious. You know you rank your kids, too. I'm not the only one.
Can you imagine?
What about Junior?
You can't rank your kids in your will, right? Like, Deion, I know he's joking around a little bit.
Ooh.
Oh, come on.
Perloff has a ranking.
No. I mean, listen.
Your daughters are
Maggie's
both
right.
equally
like,
amazing.
If you go to a lawyer and say that you are giving less to one kid, that's a thing. But it does happen. We see it on TV all the time. Like, the so-and-so daughter got next to nothing. Like, that is a consistent theme on TV shows.
I think it's, and for people who have these huge estates, like I'm sure Deion Sanders is a super wealthy guy. But
and I'm not 100% sure he was joking, by the way, Maggie. He has openly talked about that ranking. He had it posted in his kitchen.
It's so crazy to me. It's such an interesting parenting technique. But it's also funny that you can, it's one thing if you're, you know, leaving a business, right? You're leaving the business that either has been in your family for generations or you started it and you're like, well, you know, maybe one son or one daughter would be better to run the business than another. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you're leaving money, don't you have to split it equally amongst all of your offspring?
I mean, I don't know. I would, but I do think that there are reasons that it's happened. I mean, that's why those lawyers make so much money for wills. And I have a friend who works at, I think it's called probate court, and every will goes, you know, you're probably going to go to court for a will someday.
I don't want to.
It happens to every will is contested ever since the beginning of time. For example, what if, you know, one of your parents sadly dies before the other? What if he remarries, like Bill Belichick style, right before?
Oh my gosh.
Then the will
that?
Goes to major, then there you have a problem.
No, there was a report that Pablo Torre had the report that someone in Belichick's family, they were concerned that Jordan Hudson was now getting written into the will.
Yeah, wills are not simple. So, yeah, I think if we know anything about Deion, he's the kind of person who would get into this. I don't know if he's joking.
It kind of sounds like every time he tells us, don't forget about Shiloh, maybe actually Shiloh's the one who's going to be ranked number
one. What about Shiloh?
What about
does him? Feel like he's into Shiloh. We saw Shiloh in Tampa Bay Buccaneers camp. He hasn't gone to Cleveland. Feels like he's feeling Shiloh.
He always makes sure we don't forget about Shiloh.
I think Shiloh, by the way, has a chance to make a roster because he is a human missile. That guy does not care about getting flags.
And let's not forget Shiloh.
That's not good for a team.
Yeah, well, I think that you need that guy. I don't know if in the year 2025, but he would have been a great 90s player. Because remember Colorado, he played like a crazy man. He was a total kamikaze, which is interesting because he grew up a rich kid. I'm going to, don't forget about Shiloh. That's all I'm saying.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Rank your kids in a will? I mean, the one thing is you're not going to be there to have to deal with the aftermath.
EJ, you're one of four.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about where your ranking in the will might be?
Please, rank me number one.
What's that?
Please, mom and dad, rank me number one.
Are you the oldest?
I'm the oldest, yes.
Oh, you have such a leg up.
And you guys are not going to have to worry about this until far, 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 far in the future. But You really would you appreciate your parents leaving you a ranking, even if it's not the money? Just like, hey, I always knew I was mom's favorite.
As long as I'm number one.
Yeah, if you're number one, you feel good about it. I mean, if you're number three or four, you're probably like, what the hell?
Well, there's one also significant difference. Women take care of older parents better than men. It's the cliche out there, and I kind of think it's true. I feel bad for your parents, EJ, because there are no girls,
there's
right?
There's no girls, right. So that's an advantage for your boy over here. There's no, oh, daddy's favorite girl. There's no that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
There's a youngest son, who's Henry Jr., so maybe, I don't know, maybe he has a leg up because he's a Henry. I suppose, like, you know, my dad's Henry Sr.
Yeah,
oh,
the namesake.
No.
Got it.
So maybe there's that. I don't know, but.
Manny, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one older brother and one half-brother that lives in El Salvador.
Yes, and I heard from your dad. He already gave most of his money to your older brother.
That's right, yes, for his education. That is correct.
So you're due in the will.
Oh, I'm in the driver's seat right now.
You're like, I don't need to go to Penn State.
But my brother does have the upper leg right now because my brother did just announce that he and his wife are pregnant. So
hey, congratulations.
That's the first grandson for, or actually first grandchild for my parents. So I don't know, maybe he has a leg
out.
Up right now. Yeah, I think I'm striking out.
You're
cooked. I got home drunk on Sunday night. So I think I might be third right now.
Well, felicidades to your family. That's fantastic.
Muchas gracias.
Do you know what they're having?
Nope. Christina wants to find out when the baby is born.
Wow.
So
that terrifies me.
Yeah, my brother's absolutely riddled with anxiety because of that.
Well,
yeah.
And it has many months to grow, that anxiety, along with the baby. It's like the last secret that you, or the last like surprise that you have in life, you know?
Uncle Manny.
Nick's onesie already purchased. Theo Manny loading.
I've heard that's like I don't know if it's a newer thing, but it feels like a lot of the women of this generation are getting pregnant. A lot of them do not want to know. And this has been not a contentious thing. With me and Andre, I've talked about this a ton because she doesn't want to know. And I'm like, no, I have to know.
Is that partly because the gender reveals that I see on social media are so dangerous?
Like, you got to up the ante so hard on
these. I saw a guy
these.
Who clearly he was doing like a weight thing where he was like pushing weight. The dumbbell must have been 5 pounds. This guy was like jumping on boxes and doing flips with like a full bar.
And that was the gender reveal?
Yeah. And then like he dropped the dumbbells and then it revealed it was a girl or whatever.
Okay.
But like he was jumping up and down on a box with a bar over his neck.
EJ, someone burned down like an entire forest on accident. Like these things have gotten way out of control.
I think people have died, sadly.
Yeah. You want to know also what could happen to you, like what happened to me and my husband, is all of a sudden they put the scan up and you see a little wee wee.
Oh, you see, you know
what?
There
you go.
I gotta tell you, I saw the scan, and there's so many little things pointing every which way. I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, we saw it, and it was just like, oh, okay. We weren't sure if we wanted to know or not. But there we go.
Not to call you out of this, but like, there's a lot of things going on. Like, are you sure that you?
My husband goes, "Is that a?" And they go, "Yep."
Oh wow, mm-hmm. That was the first time you saw him.
Well, no, not the, but the first time it looked like anything.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, when I first got that image, I'm like, what the heck is that?
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-44.
That's the head, that's an arm.
You have no, sure? Honestly, it's the first set of images, you're not sure which one end is up or which end is down.
Yeah, that's whatever. It's a blob. Okay, we got a lot to do. This started off with a Browns quarterback conversation. Coming up next, we will tell you the craziest thing that I will not be able to get over if this actually happens in sports. I won't be able to buy it. M&P. You see a little wee-wee.
The Defensive Player of the Week is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Wow, this is a tough one this week. Baseball, WNBA, training camp. Maggie, do you think EJ would have picked somebody who excelled in training camp?
I mean,
like a fancy interception in the corner of the end zone or something?
I hope not, because it's just training camp stuff. Are we getting a little, would we be getting a little ahead of ourselves?
Well, I mean, listen, it's the middle of summer. You can't go baseball, but there's 162 baseball games. Is anybody really making that much of an impact? I'm going to go with Abdul Carter, the New York Giants rookie, for the sick spin move that made all the highlights earlier this week. Abdul Carter is a Defensive Player of the Week.
I think I'm going to go with someone from the Fever. Maybe like Aaliyah Boston at a couple blocks. On Sunday, they played the Chicago Sky, but Caitlin wasn't playing. But they won easily, 93-78.
No, we're not going to Fever, or we're not going Abdul-Carter, though he does look pretty sick in these highlights in training camp. No, we're going to baseball last night, and we're going to my favorite city in America, San Diego, California.
The other way and deep. Fernando back at the wall. That ball's gone. Off the wall, apparently. Or on the transfer, not sure which. He got it.
This is unbelievable. Did you see the flash? Look, there's the catch. Brings it back. There's the trip. What a catch, Fernando. You are unbelievable.
Shallow right. Fernando racing in. Sliding and making the catch. Fernando doing it all tonight.
Yeah, I don't know when Fernando Tatis turned into Torii Hunter, but he was last night playing right field, not center field. But yeah. Tatis robs Vientos of a home run, also makes a sliding catch on Starling Marte. He was phenomenal out in the field. So it's against my team, which is quite sad. But for the rest of America, Fernando Tatis is the defensive player of the week.
Padres on the loose. Let's go, Goose.
Takes a big man, EJ. Recognized, even though that was a painful loss last night. Good win for the San Diego Padres. Bogish has the latest. What's up?
We have New York City Mayor Eric Adams saying this morning that the alleged shooter in yesterday's Manhattan attack was targeting NFL headquarters, believing he had CTE from playing football. After killing four people and wounding another, the man meant to go to league offices but went to the wrong elevator bank. Now, the wounded person is an NFL employee. The Athletic reported this morning that he works in the finance office and was hit in the back while downstairs on the phone with his coworkers about the situation going on at their building in Manhattan. Roger Goodell telling league employees in a memo last night he was in stable condition at the hospital. Baseball is dealing with its own real-life issues at the moment as well, losing Hall of Fame second baseman Ryan Sandberg yesterday. The Cubs legend was just 65 years old. In December, Sandberg announced that his prostate cancer had returned and spread to other organs. He is in Cooperstown because of one NL MVP, seven silver sluggers, and nine gold gloves. The current Cubs had an important game last night, a first-place showdown with the Brewers in Milwaukee. Chicago scored three in its first at-bat, but lost 8-4, dropping out of their tie for first for now. Without All-Star closer Emmanuel Clase, the Guardians gave up four runs top nine, lost to Colorado 8-6. Clase is on non-disciplinary paid leave through the end of August while MLB continues a gambling investigation. We don't know yet exactly how Clase is involved. We do know that this means Cleveland cannot trade him before Thursday's deadline, as was expected. Shohei Ohtani, a tie-breaking two-run double top five. His Dodgers win in Cincinnati 5-2. The Giants lost their fourth straight 6-5 to the Pirates. And the Padres, here we go again, cooled off those Mets.
Gregory Soto will deal. And Diaz lines it into left field. Here comes Nimmo, has to play it on a hop. Iglesias rounding third. Here's the throw to the plate. No shot. And the Padres walk it off.
On Padres radio, 7-6, snapping the Mets' seven-game win streak despite a 5-1 lead for New York in that one. Paige Becker scored 20. Her Wings held off the Liberty 92-82 in Dallas. The Storm hammered the Sun 101-85. And Cam Brink is back tonight as the Sparks meet the Aces. Brink tore an ACL just 13 months ago, only 15 games into her rookie season. Guys, back to you.
Okay, so I teased it before the break, Pearl. If this one thing happens, I just won't be able to believe it. I won't be able to get over it. And it looks like it may happen. I don't know. John Gruden is looking to get back into the NFL as a head coach. If John Gruden gets another job in the NFL before Bill Belichick does, I don't think I'd be able, like, it wouldn't sit with me. I don't know if I'd
right
be able
to. Double, X-jip, 36 counter naked waggle at 7, X-quarter on 1. Ready, break.
He's a better media personality than he was a coach, and he won a Super Bowl. But I think everyone says, and I'm not trying to, you know, denigrate John Gruden here, that it was Tony Dungy's players, and he got to play against his former team where Bill Callahan may not have changed the playbook very much. So he kind of had this very unique lane to, you know, you got to get to the Super Bowl, of course, but then to win it, where he had multiple Hall of Famers along that defensive line. So again, I just can't imagine a world where John Gruden would get hired again before Bill Belichick, but I think in the NFL, but I think that will happen.
Yeah, I I don't totally view John. John Gruden was pretty successful. I mean, it was terrible, but that wasn't that because until the second stint with the Raiders, like, I thought he was very well thought of.
You know, I think John Gruden's star grew a lot doing Monday Night Football. I think that people liked his folksiness, and he is like, you know, until those emails came out where he was using those like racist tropes against Damora Smith, yeah. I do think that people were really into John Gruden, that he had this sort of like, oh, he's the Hooters guy, and he's got this, you know, and he still has this career now with Barstool, and he puts out funny videos and stuff. But I just can't imagine Bill Belichick won 6 Super Bowls and John Gruden would get a job in the NFL before Belichick.
I mean, Gruden, I just looked at 61 and Belichick 73.
Doesn't matter.
I think it definitely matters.
Well, here's my other thing about John Gruden, right? Yeah. So one of the big things about Belichick was at the end, he wasn't drafting well, and it obviously looked like, you know, he couldn't do much without Tom Brady.
Right.
John Gruden drafted well at the Raiders? We're talking about how Mike Mayock both did not have these draft picks that hit. It's part of the reason why the Raiders find themselves in the situation they're in. And if you read some of the stuff coming out of Las Vegas at the time, Gruden like maybe steamrolled Mike Mayock on some of those draft picks and really wanted his input. So if you're afraid that Belichick is going to, you know, not be a great drafter, but John Gruden all of a sudden is you know, is Howie Roseman? I don't get that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think Gruden was right there in the late 90s with Andy Reid and definitely McCarthy. Like, he was considered, like, the young genius on that staff, right, in Green Bay. I think, and, I'm, you know, looking at his record, like, he was definitely built the Raiders offense into something legit. Now, Tampa Bay won with defense, you're right, but he had Brad Johnson as his quarterback. He never had a quarterback, and then the team fizzled because they got old. And he went, he was great in the Monday Night Booth. Like, you have to remember, he was the hot thing. Like, he was supposed to be a huge innovator. This happens all the time. You're an innovator in your 30s, and then you're not an innovator by your 50s. Mm. So I think you're putting way too much. I think you know John Gruden as the sort of jokey Monday Night Football guy, and now...
No, I'm thinking about the Raiders.
But I just think, like, yeah, I think he lost his fastball. But at one time, he was a real, like, he was a major factor in coaching.
That's
he was probably
fine.
Top five in the whole league.
But right now, Bill Belichick is the greatest NFL coach of all time. And he was out there looking for a job and couldn't get one in the NFL. And yet John Gruden gave some quotes to the Detroit Free Press. This is where we're getting this from.
Yeah.
About how he's really looking for his last shot. And he's, you know, optimistic that he can get a shot. I mean, the idea that John Gruden would get a job before Bill Belichick in the NFL to me is lunacy.
When do you think is the last time John Gruden won at least 10 games in the NFL?
Well, how
Tampa?
Many? I mean,
years.
When did he stop in Tampa Bay?
He left Tampa in 2007. The last time he won double-digit wins was 11 wins in 2005. 20 years.
Right. I mean, it's definitely old. There's no doubt about it. But, hey, it's worked. Dick Vermeil came back after 18 years away or whatever.
Right, but he coached, like, 8 more years after that. That's my point. Is like, this was not like he had that one good year in Tampa and then like he retired like Vermeil did. This was, he coached 4 more years in Tampa, then went to the Raiders. Like, he has been mid for an extremely long time.
Well, I mean, he was gone from the sport for a decade.
Right, which doesn't help his case in terms of being a great NFL coach. You're talking about guys coaching now. Bill Belichick has Super Bowl rings in the last decade.
There are a lot of owners, I think, who remember when Gruden was the hot thing. If you're going to put the personal stuff aside, I think Gruden as a football coach, probably it wouldn't be, if you didn't have all the side stuff, then it wouldn't sound crazy. It would sound like bringing back Mike McCarthy. It would be like, that's why I think Gruden is.
I just think that he had the same type of control in Las Vegas that Belichick had in New England. I do think John Gruden had a lot of power. Yes, Mike Mayock was there as his handpicked general manager. So I'm just wondering why Gruden would look so much more appealing than Belichick would.
No, but I mean, I think that he would have been one of these retreads. Again, not Belichick, but Belichick, we know why Belichick's not the coach. There's a bunch of reasons. Gruden's not going to come in there and fire everybody. He's not going to.
Why? What makes you say that? I mean,
I just think I think at this point, an owner would be like, okay, we're not going to get the full John Gruden effect because he's a diminished property. I think that he's a diminished coach. I think Belichick would come in and fire everybody. And it'd be really hard to be around. And Gruden seems like people like him.
Well, to me, he seems like someone who wants the control. And I think that if he was like, listen, this is my last shot, I'm going to do it my way. Right?
Can he still do that anymore, though? I would think since he's been wandering in the wilderness. You know, it's funny. He works for Barstool now, which is the same path that Dion took to sort of get back into coaching. So who knows? The funny thing about John Gruden, as awful as those emails were, he seems to have a lot of fans. Like, people, there are a lot of players who swear
Lomas by him. Brown, who joined us. Yeah. Remember, we talked about playing for him, and he said he loved him, right?
Yeah. My buddy Darren Waller swears by him, says he's the best coach he ever had. And then he was at practice with the Lions with John Morton, and the other coaches love him. I don't quite understand it myself. I would never want that guy as a coach. And DJ's right. I mean, it's been a long time since he's had his fastball. Okay, yeah, that being said, by the way, Maggie, he does not have a head coaching job.
No, he doesn't. He certainly wants one. Just
remember,
like Belichick.
By the way, down the hall, Boomer Esiason said that he should be a strong candidate for the Jets. Did he say he should be or is?
There was a faction of people in New York who wanted him for the Jets, no doubt. But they got Aaron Glenn. It seems like everyone's happy about that, too.
But that being said, I think we're a long way from actually seeing John Gruden hired. Like, does anyone here think that's really going to happen?
Here's my other question. Do you think he'd just take any job?
Yeah, of course.
Yes, okay. I think he would.
All right. I don't know. He seems like he loves the media, too. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. I think he could have gotten a lower-level college job.
I think he could be an assistant.
Right. Like, people have come back from scandals. Like, this is America. People like to forgive.
Like, and maybe not even like a coordinator. He could be a quote-unquote special assistant.
Or QB coach even. Like, I could see
him. He was doing that with the Chiefs, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was at he's been at several camps. He was in Chiefs camp last year. Working with their offense. I can see that for sure.
I mean, come on, we've seen some crazy comebacks. Bobby Petrino, I mean.
Yeah. Literally an offensive coordinator right now.
George O'Leary, like, you could come back from a lot.
That's why I asked, do you think he'd take any job? Because I'm sure he could have gotten back in if he wanted to.
As head coach or something?
No, work your way back up. I mean.
Sorry, when you said any job, I thought you meant any head coaching job.
That's what I thought, too.
I was surprised that he didn't take a lower-level college job. I would have thought that a college program who wanted to put themselves on the map, get a little attention, would have gone for Gruden. I'm not saying it would have been Alabama, but just something smaller.
I mean, he's right there in Florida, you know. He lives in Tampa Bay still, I imagine, right? He could have been perfect for one of those schools. There are a lot of schools. I don't know. I'm not sure. That is interesting. If you're a college, would you worry about the messiness of the personal life stuff?
Oh, definitely. But you just mentioned Bobby Petrino's back. He's the offense coordinator at Arkansas. I mean, how'd you sell that to the fan base?
And what do you think is more likely, him coaching in college or him coaching in the NFL?
I still think college.
Really?
You're right logically, but it does feel like he's circling around the NFL. That's where he wants to be.
No doubt. Okay, lots more to do, including we will do our superlatives, yes, for today?
Sure.
Let's do it next. It's Maggie and Perloff, who is the best kept secret in the NFL. Do that next. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. We've been doing some college football and NFL superlatives, Pearl. Yep. Today we're doing the best kept secret on both the college ranks and both in the pro. So you want to start us off?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to start with the pro.
Okay.
I'm not sure if everyone remembers, but it's already been a few months. The Detroit Lions traded up for a receiver named Isaac Tesla, who a lot of people hadn't heard of because he did nothing in college. But he was at Arkansas, where they had no passing offense whatsoever. Then he got to the training process, ran a 4.43 40, jumped 40 inches in the air, had the highest athletic profile of, I think, any receiver in this draft.
Wow.
Lions move up 30 picks to get him in the top of the third round. And he is mossing people in practice, Maggie. Nice. He is just destroying everybody. And you know how the Lions lost Ben Johnson, but they still seem to spread the ball all over the place. You never know what they're going to do. I hope that they still do trick plays and stuff. I think Tesla is going to be an immediate part of what they do. I think they're going to try to get the ball in his hands just to take advantage of that athleticism. The early reports are wildly optimistic out of Detroit. So I think he's a guy. I don't know in that offense if you draft him for your fantasy team, but he's going to be worth watching.
That's interesting. Man, like, the Lions need more weapons. I mean, they've got such a potent offense between Jameson Williams and obviously Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta. I mean, they've got a lot going on. And the run game.
And but they love that. They seem to like to hit you out of nowhere. Just don't let Jameson Williams throw and you'll be okay.
For my NFL best kept secret, you know, I've been thinking about the Steelers a lot, mostly because you and I really disagree on what the expectations are for them and maybe what they could be. You think they're going to be just like they've always been, kind of mid playoff team.
Yeah, 10-7, baby. Here we come.
Yeah, I think their expectation is actually Super Bowl. So for that, you're going to need your quarterback center situation to be really good. So Zach Frazier, and I can't claim to be like the offensive line guru, but the guy's a Pro Football Focus. Absolutely love the center, Zach Frazier. Last year ranked top six center in the league. They think he could be even better than that. And for this Rodgers thing to go well, I'm not saying Rodgers has to throw for 40 touchdowns, but for Rodgers to go well, he's going to have to gel with that offensive line and obviously with his center. So I would say best kept secret, Zach Frazier, the center for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Man, I do not envy that guy because Aaron Rodgers is probably pretty prickly and specific about it, what he wants. So that guy is hugely important. I don't understand the Steelers line. Like they're promising, but then Najee Harris never had more than 3 inches to run last year. So anyway, okay, college ranks.
Yep.
I'm going to go, and I don't know how unkept he is, but Shaurya Robertson, the Baylor quarterback, had a really good year last year. And I'm going a little more with the college football writers I trust. He's a deep, deep long shot to win the Heisman. Mm. But it seems like the insiders are like much, much more high on the Baylor quarterback. He's at 60-1 behind some of the names he's behind Gio Lopez of North Carolina, behind Caden Salter, who may not even win the job, behind Nico Iyer, who I'd be shocked if he could put up numbers at UCLA, because we know Baylor is a place where we've had big numbers before, and Shaurya Robertson's a very, very big guy, 6'4", 220. I think he's 22 already. It just sets up, that's one of those scenarios where a guy could just have an explosive statistical year, and if the team is good, you never know with Baylor. Like, they'll hit you out of nowhere with a good season. He could all of a sudden get some Heisman hype.
Yeah, their head coach I do not trust. He gave a press conference recently where he may have given one of the most bizarre answers to a question I've ever heard in my entire life. We couldn't play it because it's so odd and weird. And
but he was the guy, what was it, 2 years ago? He was like the hottest coach.
Yeah, Dave Aranda. This one, again, we couldn't even play it. It was just so bizarre and weird. Anyway, and we love weird stuff around here. It was not in a good way. It was weird in a bad way. I've already given Austin Simmons as an answer for a different superlative, but I absolutely love this dude. Ole Miss quarterback, basically bred in a lab. I don't think he's a household name yet, even though he had that good drive against Georgia, but he will be the starter for Lane Kiffin, so I think he's going to be the next big thing. But if you're going to go with my best-kept secret, we talked a lot about Colorado today with Deion Sanders announcing that he has overcome bladder cancer, thankfully. And we talked about their expectations and how much longer Deion wants to coach. I think Jordan Seaton, not yet a household name. I think best-kept secret as a left tackle that Deion brought in, and whether it's going to be, you know, the veteran quarterback that Deion goes with or the young five-star, I think Jordan Seaton is going to become a household name this year.
Household
left
name.
Tackle for, well, as much as a college tackle can be.
I think the only college tackle that is, I'd say Orlando Pace was the one I remember.
Yeah, Joe Thomas people knew.
But, I mean, that was part of the Wisconsin machine. I don't think he was a household name, Joe Thomas.
It's hard.
I would say, you know, Caden Proctor came into Alabama with that kind of reputation, but it's got to be somebody from Alabama.
Jake Long was a pretty big name.
Because his dad.
Yeah, Jake Long.
Yeah.
No, Jake.
Sorry.
No, sorry. I was just adding to the names. Yeah, Jay,
I don't know. Was he that big? Though? Like, Orlando Pace was, I think, got some Heisman votes.
For sure.
Double check that one. But it's really hard for that. Yeah, Jake, not part of the Long clan.
Oh, who's the offensive lineman?
Chris Long.
Chris.
Well, Chris and Kyle.
Kyle.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
What do you think? Can an offensive lineman be a household name? Who do you it's have, tough. EJ? Someone from your Miami Hurricanes?
No.
Best kept secret.
Don't do Carson Beck.
No, I wouldn't pick
We know too much about Beck. Keep that Snapchat on private.
You know what? You should just give us the Hurricanes or the NFL.
Oh, the Hurricanes are going to the NFL?
No, I say that should be your best.
Xavier Restrepo?
I know, yeah. Just somebody, yeah. Oh, Restrepo, definitely. Actually, I think he's going to make the team.
And did at Arroyo, they cut their starting tight end, right? So he might start this year.
This reminds me that our defense sucked because he should have been in the college football playoff.
Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you, Manny Rodriguez. And congrats to the Rodriguez family, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, the Widow.